At the Crossroads is a collection of sermons preached at Crossroads Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. The following sermon was given by Pastor Aaron Smith on Sunday evening, July 8th, 2018.
Amen. All right. One other announcement I forgot. We will be having a men's work night this Thursday at 6:30. And so, men, if you can come out and help, we're going to be working in the two restrooms that we'll be remodeling, as well as finishing the prep work for the gym floor, getting it scraped and cleaned up. And so we'll start that around 6:30 on Thursday evening. And so if you can help us with that, that would be awesome. So wonderful. Go ahead and take your Bibles tonight, if you would. And we are going to begin a new series this evening as we look at the life of Solomon, King of Israel. Of course, Solomon, the son of David. Solomon actually is the 10th son of David out of 13 boys born to David, the king. And we'll see about his life. Really just going to kind of introduce this evening and looking at a few different things here in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we'll look at the circumstances surrounding his birth, and then we'll look at the controversy surrounding his ascension to the throne of Israel. And so it's really quite a compelling story and life of Solomon. If you know even just a little bit about Solomon's life and his reign as the king of Israel, you know, as the queen of Sheba described by saying, the half has not been told. And so we're going to tell all that we can for as, maybe not as long as we can, but I think this series should go about 18 sermons, give or take. And so that's about the length and duration that we'll take to discuss and look at the life of Solomon. As I've thought about before, if somebody was to tell my life story, I don't think it would be a bestseller. I don't think many would probably even listen. But I am grateful for men that God recorded in His Word, their life story. And Solomon, of course, one of those. I've not done a series on Solomon before, so I'm excited about it and looking forward to learning more about his life, and I hope you are as well. Now, as we start here tonight in 2 Samuel chapter 12, there was a little bit of controversy surrounding, not necessarily Solomon, but of course Solomon's parents. David, the king of Israel, of course, at a time when he should have been at war, stayed behind and spied out on the top of his of the whatever that building's called that he lives in. Somebody help me, my mind's going blank. The palace. Very good, David. Thank you for being here tonight and helping me being a part of this sermon. I appreciate it. But he was on top of the palace. That is exactly the word. And he was overlooking, and he saw a woman by the name of Bathsheba, and he called for her to come. And I'm not going to go into all of the details there, but of course, you know, Bathsheba was then found pregnant, being another man's wife, rather than David dealing with it properly. He called for Uriah to come from the battlefield, tried to get Uriah to go into Bathsheba, and because Uriah was an honorable man, he said, well, all of my brethren who are out at war aren't home to go into their wives, and so I'll refrain so I can go back to the battle tomorrow. And little did he know that as David continued to conspire against him to cover his own sin, he wrote the orders that pretty much sentenced Uriah to death. So much so that David is the one who was found guilty of Uriah's murder, as the Bible reads it. And when we come to 2 Samuel chapter 12, we see what is happening after that. And if you'll look in verse number 1, we want to look at some of the events leading up to Solomon's birth, and then we'll move forward rather quickly here. But the Bible says in verse number 1, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in the city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up and grew it up together with him and with his children, and did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and he was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come unto him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, that man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if it had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst in secret, or did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth, and the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house. And when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was yet alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? but now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. So we'll stop there just for a moment, but I want you to notice those two verses there in verse 24 and 25. We'll make some comments about the previous verses here in a moment, but for emphasis' sake, look what David said, or look what the Bible says in verse 24. "And David comforted Bathsheba's wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord." So we're going to talk about the life of Solomon this evening and in the coming weeks. But let's pray together and we'll get into this, shall we? Heavenly Father, I come to you, and God, I come in a humbleness as David cried before you, Father. May we certainly learn to cry in such a manner, for we know not what your hand will do in our life. And yet, Father, when we have the answer, may it be acceptable in our sight. And Father, this evening, as we go through and we look at the circumstances surrounding this birth of Solomon, one who you arrayed like no other, you rose up, and Father, your word tells us that you loved him. And God, I find it tonight to just be an amazing thing as we read your word and we see the impact of this man's life upon not just the kingdom of Israel, but Father, even our own culture today, upon our church, upon believers. And so, Father, as we look at his life, will you allow it to speak to our hearts? May we learn from his wisdom and follow after it. And, Father, may we learn and heed even in his folly, God, that we might learn from it in a way that we would run from it. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask all of these things. Amen and amen. So, as we look at this 10th son of David, king of Israel, of course, we really can't get to the birth of Solomon without going through what we just read concerning David and Nathan as he came to him. As Nathan bravely approached David and told him this story about two men, one rich, the other poor. He said the rich man had a visitor, had what the Bible describes as a wayfaring man. Many have described this story that Nathan gave as a parable or a Hebrew parable. And within that parable, of course, we know that the rich man would represent David as the king of Israel. He had many wives to choose from, but he chose the wife of Uriah, who in this particular parable was represented by the poor man. Now, the interesting thing here is the wayfaring man. When we think of that, obviously the ewe lamb represented Bathsheba, but the wayfaring man that David, or in the parable, the rich man took from the poor man to satisfy or to prepare something for this wayfaring man. Of course, that would represent David's own lust of the flesh. What we might consider to be the old man of the flesh was this wayfaring man. And when David was given this story, the Bible says that David's anger was kindled. He was very wroth. He was upset. And he said, "That man shall die. He's going to restore unto him fourfold. He's going to give everything back that he took plus more. And therefore, and then after that, he shall surely die." And then as he is going through that, he said, because he had no pity. And then Nathan has to stand and stare at the king of Israel and say, David, thou art the man. And he had a message from God as he said, the Lord God of Israel said, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And look what God says here. And if it had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. And then Nathan asked, why did you despise the commandment of the Lord to do this evil in his sight? He said, you killed Uriah the Hittite. You took his wife. You slayed him with the sword of the children of Ammon. He said, David, it's as if you took the sword yourself and murdered him. God spared David as he confessed his sin, and we're not going to go into all of this, but he said he would live, but the punishment through this is that the child would die. And we see David praying and fasting for 7 days, begging God to let the child live. And when the child died, David worshiped. He worshiped. And he went to the house of the Lord and he worshiped there. And he came to his own house and he cleaned himself up and he prepared himself. And we don't know exactly how much time transpired from the time that Nathan confronted David to the time that the child was born. And from we know it was 7 days before the child died. But what we don't know is how long it was from the time that David comforted Bathsheba and she conceived Solomon. But we see that when Solomon was born, we see the comfort that his birth brought. It's an interesting thing to mark here in verse number 24 of 2 Samuel chapter 12, that when the Bible says that David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son and called his name Solomon, the Bible says here, and if you're in the habit of marking in your Bible, this would be a wonderful place to mark, because this is the only person in Scripture that the Bible specifically says, and the Lord loved him. The Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah. So here's Solomon being named by David, Solomon, but then Nathan the prophet comes, and he says, well, I'm going to call him Jedidiah because of the Lord. And so Solomon being known both as Solomon and Jedidiah. Now, while we see this, David continues to reign in Israel. Now we know some pretty heinous things take place in their lives as Solomon was being raised in Jerusalem and in the king's house in chapter 13 of 2 Samuel. Of course, we see that Ammon, David's eldest son, was in love with Absalom's sister, Amnon's half-sister, and forces himself upon her and just, I'm not going to go into all the details and belabor this. Hopefully you know the story somewhat and what took place. And the amazing thing to me is that as Nathan prophesied, if you'll not forget what he said back in chapter 12, he said, I will raise up evil against thee, and out of thine own house these things will begin to take place, and that it will not, that judgment will continue to go through that. And it did, as Amnon did that to his half-sister, and then David did nothing to Amnon. Absalom, being David's third son, took up the offense for his sister, and I think rightfully so, and waited a couple of years before he acted upon that. And what Absalom did was he invited all of his brothers over to his house for dinner one night. And while at dinner, he gave some orders to his servants, and he said, I want you to get everybody drunk. He said, and when everybody's drunk enough, he said, I want you to take Amnon and I want you to kill him. And they said, excuse me? And Absalom said, no, you didn't misunderstand me. He said, I want you to kill Amnon. And so they did exactly what Absalom did, or what he said to do. And when Amnon was drunk enough, they killed him. Now you can imagine the fear that was within the rest of Absalom's brothers as they saw what Absalom had done to Amnon. And so they all flee. We also see through this time that Absalom raises up a following throughout Israel, of course, gathering people to himself, and in this following rebels against David and threatens the life of David so much so that David, as the king of Israel, flees his kingdom, flees the palace for many months in fear of what Absalom is going to do to him. And we see this disruption within the kingdom of Israel and within the life and ministry and even within the family of David the king. We don't see Solomon again from the time that he was born. All of these things beginning to take place in David's family, the havoc and all of that. But I wanted you to notice the comfort that Solomon's birth brought, not just to David, but also to Bathsheba. And the Lord loved him. I think that is key in what we're going to learn here in 1 Kings chapter 1. So I want you to turn there, and we're going to spend the rest of the evening in this particular passage. And so 1 Kings chapter 1. Now, many years have passed. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 1 that David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heed. So not only was he old, but David is now ill. He's on his deathbed, and they are concerned about him. Those that served him were concerned about him. And the Bible says, wherefore his servants, excuse me, said unto him, let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord may, or the my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coast of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen, and 50 men to run before him. His father had not displeased him at any time, saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest. And they following Adonijah, helped him. But Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zehoath, which is by Engrol, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants, but Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign? And David our Lord knoweth it not. Now therefore, come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee unto King David, and say unto him, didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. And Bathsheba went in unto the king, unto the chamber, and the king was very old. And Abishag the Shunammite ministered unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king, and the king said, What wouldest thou? And she said unto him, My lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and shall sit upon my throne. And now, behold, Adonijah reigneth. And now, my lord the king, thou knowest it not. And he hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of hosts. But Solomon thy servant hath he not called. And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it shall come to pass, when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. We'll stop there for sake of time. But I want you to notice not just the comfort that Solomon's birth brought, but I want you to notice the controversy of his assumption of the throne. So here's what's happening. As David is king, he's getting older. At some point, as we read the scripture here, prior to this particular day and time, that David had told Bathsheba that, and others, evidently Nathan, that Solomon would reign in David's place. But here we have David's fourth son, Amnon was his oldest, who's now dead. Then he had a son named Daniel that we don't see and know much about. And then Absalom was David's third born, who also was dead, as he was killed by Joab to make restitution for Absalom's rebellion, as well as Absalom's murder of Amnon. And so now we have Adonijah, who is Absalom's full brother, who is, the best we can tell, the eldest within and of David's sons at this particular time in history. So the Bible says in verse number 5 that Adonijah said, I will be king. And he does really, I think, at first glance, several right things. The Bible, first off, says he was a good man. It says not just that he was a good man, it says he also was a very goodly man. Best we can tell, Adonijah did what was right most of the time. It says in verse number 7, he conferred with Joab and with Abiathar the priest, and they helped him. And so he goes to Joab, who's captain of the host. He's one of David's trusted men. And then he goes to Abiathar the priest, who's a godly man, and says, Hey, I'm going to be king. What do you think? And he's seeking counsel here. And we know the Bible tells us that there is safety in the multitude of counselors. And so apparently, as we look through this, that Adonijah's doing some pretty good things here, with the exception of one thing. And it's the very first thing that it says about Adonijah as the son of Haggith. And here's what it says: Then Adonijah the son of Haggith exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he goes through and he sets himself up, and He throws the big party, and he has the men of Israel around him, and he has some of David's men and followers gathered around him as he's throwing this party. But also interesting that there's one priest by the name of Zadok, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, remember Nathan, he's the one that came and withstood against David and said, "Thou art the man." He didn't invite him, and he didn't invite Shimei, and he didn't invite Rei, and the mighty men that belonged to David. They were not with Adonijah. They said, no, this isn't going to happen. This isn't right. And so we see this controversy as Nathan then comes to Bathsheba and says, "Hey, do you have any idea what's going on?" And he rehearses the story that we just read about Adonijah and how he's thrown this party and Solomon wasn't invited and these other men weren't invited. And he says, "You need to go to David and you need to tell him. You need to remind him that he said that Solomon would reign upon his throne. And when you do that, I'll come in behind you and I'll confirm thy words and what he has said and what we know to be so." And so what we find here is Adonijah setting himself up, Bathsheba and Nathan making sure that David follows through with what he said. Now, we also know that through and after these events with Bathsheba and going forward, David did not always do what was right by his children. David did not always do what was right by his children. And so here's Nathan, and he's watching out for him. They talk to him, and he realizes, okay, I have got to do this. And so when we get to verse number 28, we see David calling Bathsheba back in, and he assures her in verse 29, "As the king sware and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day." Then Bathsheba bowed her face to the earth and had reverenced the king and said, "Let my lord King David live forever." And King David said, "Call me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." And they came before the king, and I'll summarize what happens there. He basically dispatches these guys to go and get Solomon and to anoint him king over Israel. And so they go, and he gives the orders, and they get Solomon, and they begin to anoint him. And he tells them, he says, "I want you to blow the trumpet." And he said, "I want you to announce that Solomon is now the king in Israel." And so as they're doing that, and they're going through all of these things, Adonijah is continuing to have some things, and they're eating, and he's there with Joab, and they hear the trumpet. And they hear the applause, and they hear everything that's taking place. And a young man by the name of Jonathan, who was there and witnessed what had taken place, he comes to give the news to Adonijah. And he, of course, is invited in, and they tell him, "Oh, you're a valiant man. Come on in. What good word do you have?" And he says, "Well, I'm pretty much here to tell you that that noise that you hear and the trumpet that you heard, they kind of made Solomon king." And everybody's kind of excited about it. And it's kind of a big deal. And Zadok was there, and Nathan was there, and Benaiah was there, and that's what you heard. Well, Adonijah, of course, has some great concern. He says in verse number 50 of chapter 1, the Bible says, "And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and arose and went and caught hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon. For lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. And Solomon said, If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair, not and hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. So Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar. And he came and bowed himself to King Solomon. And Solomon said, go to thine house. And so apparently within this concern that he had, they make up. Solomon begins to reign in Israel. Adonijah goes to his house, and we live happily ever after. Until chapter 2. As David draws nigh to death, he charges Solomon, and we're going to come back to this later. We're going to look at this at another time, but I want to continue with this line of thinking between Adonijah and Solomon. In verse 12, the Bible says, then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and said, Comest thou peacefully? And he said, peacefully. And so here's what happens and transpires between Adonijah and Bathsheba. Adonijah asks Bathsheba, he says, hey, can you do something for me? And she says, well, I don't know. What is it? And he says, I'd like you to go to Solomon and ask him to do something because he won't tell you no. Has anybody else picked up on that, that it's possible that Solomon, and I'm not being disrespectful here because I am one, but that Solomon may have been a little bit of a mama's boy? Just saying. And you'll see that here in a moment, but he says, he's not going to tell you no if you'll ask this for me. And he says, I want you to go and I want you to ask Solomon just one petition. Just one thing is all I ask. Will you ask him to give me Abishag to be my wife? Now remember, Abishag is the one who they brought in to comfort David when he was sick. And he's saying, I want to marry her. I want her to be my wife. And if Solomon will give her to me, that is all I ask. So Bathsheba says, okay. In verse 18, it says, and Bathsheba said, well, I will speak for thee unto the king. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him, and the king rose up to meet her. Now look at this. And bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand. This is unusual. Okay. That's where I say it's possibly may have been a mama's boy just a little bit. And then she said in verse 20, I desire one small petition of thee. I pray thee, say me not nay. And the king said unto her, ask on, my mother, for I will not say thee nay. So basically she says, now Solomon, I'm going to ask you something. And remember, she's sitting on the right hand of his throne. She said, I'm going to ask you something, and I don't want you to tell me no. And he says, well, go ahead and ask. I won't tell you no. And she said, verse 21, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah thy brother to wife. And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also? For he is mine elder brother, even for him, and for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zariah. Then King Solomon swear by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me an house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. So as we see this campaign of his mother to ask on behalf of Adonijah for Abishag, notice what he says here in his response and what Solomon's conclusion was. He said, why do you ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? And then look what he says. He says, would you ask for the kingdom also? For he is mine elder brother, even for him and for Abathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zariah. You see, what is happening here as Abishag was brought in to David? In this particular day and time and in this particular culture, Abishag became not a regular wife for David, for they were not married, but yet because of the service that she provided for David, she was considered a handmaid who would have been property for and had part of an inheritance from David the king. As Solomon assumed the throne, Solomon then took over. If you'll remember when Nathan was talking to David and God was dealing with David through Nathan, he said that when Saul died, God gave to David Saul's kingdom, his wives, and his servants. And so this was something that would be passed on from one to another. And Solomon knew that if he were to give Abishag a hand into Adonijah, that Adonijah would have a legal claim to the throne of David as the elder brother. And he's recognizing this and coming to this conclusion here, and he's saying, I'm telling you, he says, I swear by the Lord, and Solomon swear by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. Solomon then keeps his word to Adonijah as he was conspiring against him, using his mother against him, as well as Abishag against him, continuing to try to gain control of the kingdom of Israel. And Solomon kept his word while he said, if you're a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth, but if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. Benaiah follows the orders of Solomon and kills Jehoiada. He then gives orders for Abathar the priest, as well as Joab, captain of the host. This is the beginning of Solomon's reign. He's assumed the throne. He's learning. Now, next week, we'll come back and we'll look at the relationship between David and Solomon and the words that they shared and the advice that David gave to Solomon as he assumed the throne in Israel. But as we conclude this and these thoughts this evening in chapter 1, I want to remind you, as Adonijah, the son of Haggith, he exalted himself. And when we choose to exalt ourselves and draw attention to ourselves over what God would have for us. Again, he sought counsel. He was a pretty good guy. But the one place he messed up was that he exalted himself. And as I was reading through and preparing this, those words just jumped out at me and made me think, okay, how many times have I exalted myself? How many times have I sought to do right but failed because I exalted myself? And I think from time to time we all have this idea that we can exalt ourselves and do what we want to do versus what God wants to do. And the principle that I want to get across tonight is that when we choose to exalt ourselves over exalting the Lord, we will fail. Just as Adonijah did. And we can be a good guy, we can be a good woman, and we can seek counsel, and we can confer with others. Is this a good idea? You think I should do this? But the moment we exalt ourselves, we will fail. I'm excited to see what happens in the life of Solomon as we see the choices that he makes. We'll look at some of his writings in Proverbs as well as Song of Solomon and my personal favorite of his writings, the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll look at some of those over the next several weeks as we explore the life of Solomon, king of Israel, 10th son of David. Started off as a humble man, one who wanted to do God's will, and we'll see where he ends his life in the next coming weeks. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this sermon on At the Crossroads. We hope it was a blessing and encouragement. Please contact us with any questions or comments. Send email to pastor@crossroadsbaptistmobile.com or call us at 251-639-9500.